Verse 24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none. He saith, I'll return to my house from whence I came out, and when he findeth it swept and garnished, then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Worse than the first. Amen. Luke 12:47, and the servant that knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Why? Because he knew his will. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I'm come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? Amen. I'll read in 2 Peter. Amen. Chapter 2. He said, verse 15, which have forsaken the right way, they knew it, and are gone astray, can't go astray unless you've been there, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass, speaking with a man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. Now that's all powerful stuff in the second chapter of 2 Peter. But I'll skip most of it and read verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse. Say that with me. Worse. Say it. Worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. I've had this message laid up for a month to preach on the backslider's hell. It happened tonight. Amen. Tonight, God is going to allow me to briefly address this situation. Now, the state of the righteous is a marvelous state. The state of the Christian is a glorious state. It's peace, the Bible said, that passeth all understanding. The Bible said it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is love, unfeigned love, so evident that all men can see it in us. For he said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you have love one to another. Because you love the brethren one place. So it's love. Oh, what wonderful adjectives. These are what wonderful expressive nouns. These are peace and joy and glory and love. And then there's grace. Amen. That's that inner beauty and that outer beauty of the child of God. Amen. That's one of the most impressive parts about the saints. It is the grace that they have, both in their hearts and in their countenance. Because you see, grace has in its basic meaning, amen, not only unmerited favor, but beauty. Amen. You can see grace on the face of the saints. That's why people will walk up to you in a faraway city and say, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" Amen. That's why a man walked up to a table full of us in Gatlinburg, Kentucky. Amen. He said, "Y'all are Christians, aren't you?" Amen. That's why a fellow walked up to us up there on top of the mountain in Cherokee, North Carolina, and said, "Y'all are Christians, aren't you?" You can see the grace of God in His people. It's written on their countenance. It's written in their smile. It's even written in their tears when they don't smile. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. Amen. But when you backslide, that's all gone. All that peace is gone. All that joy unspeakable, unexpressible, unexplainable is gone suddenly. All that love that you had for the brethren suddenly is gone. You don't love the brethren. As a matter of fact, you don't care if you see one of them again. Amen. And then you lose that inner and outer beauty of the grace of God. When Leonardo da Vinci was painting the Last Supper, he searched and searched for a man who would be the Christ, and finally found him. And he had him to pose for the Christ in his painting, Da Vinci's Last Supper. He scoured the countryside, he scoured the alleys, finally at last for someone who would pose as Judas. He had a hard time finding it. It took him a long time to find somebody to pose for Judas. And finally, in the dereliction of some dark place, he found the man to pose for Judas. Hired him. Put him on the pedestal, amen, to paint the picture of Judas as he methodically and painfully, amen, painted every etched mark of sin that was on Judas' face. And as they chatted sometime between times, finally the man he was painting as Judas said, "You've painted me before." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I was the Christ." He had gone so deep into sin, amen, that when Da Vinci finally found his Judas, it was the very same one he had painted to be the imitation of Christ. You wouldn't believe what can happen in a backslider's heart and life. Amen. What a sad thing. Amen. The Bible makes no bones about it. Luke said the last state of that man is worse. Amen. The backslidden church in the book of Revelation chapter 3, Laodicea, he said, "You're rich and increased with goods, but you're really miserable and wretched and poor and blind." Amen. Wretched, poor, and blind. How far can you get from God's plan? Miserable, wretched, poor, and blind. Let me read you a man at one time felt the power of God. One time was anointed as Israel's first king. Samuel poured the oil on Saul, and the Bible said he became another man. Amen. Changed into another man. Anointing of the Lord was upon him. But then, three strikes, and he's out. Three strikes in rebellion against God. God knows about your rebellion. God knows about your stinking rebellious attitude. And every time Saul struck out, he begged off. Until finally, the third time, and he was out. And listen to what happened to this man at one time felt the Spirit of God. One time enjoyed the presence of God in his life. The anointing to do a great job. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14. Let me read 13. This is Samuel anointing David. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, David, in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. How many ever felt that? Did you feel it tonight? From that day forward, so Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But listen to this, verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who's cunning, a cunning player on the harp. And it shall come to pass that when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. 22. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass that when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. You see, David had the anointing that Saul once had. And Saul's anointing was replaced by a demon. Amen. I want to tell you that the backslider's hell starts right here on this earth. Saul was tormented by a demon right here on this earth. A backslider's hell starts right here on this earth. A backslidden church's hell starts right here. Oh, it's not as bad as it's going to be. But the Laodicean church, he said, you're miserable. Miserable. Tormented by devils like Saul. No peace to the wicked, Isaiah said. Amen. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Isaiah 57, 20 and 21. Amen. The Bible said the state of the backslider is seven times worse. Peter said the last state of that man is worse. Jesus tells how much worse. Seven times worse than before he got saved. Fear, seven times worse. Guilt, seven times worse. Misery, seven times worse. Agony, discontent, no peace, seven times worse. No love, seven times worse. Amen. Worse here on this earth, and it's going to be worse in the judgment. For Jesus said, the man that knew his Lord's will and committed things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with many stripes. It's going to be a lot worse for the backslider in judgment. To the contrary of a popular doctrine that goes among fundamentals today, once saved, always saved. Quite to the contrary, hell's going to be harder for the backslider than for anybody. I'm preaching about the backslider's hell. It's going to be worse in the judgment. It'd been better for them, the Bible said, that they had not known the way of righteousness, and after they had known it, to turn away from it. For he that knew not his Lord's will and committed things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. Amen. The torments of hell will be less for the heathen, although they will go to hell. But that worm of memory that never burns, that worm that dieth not, that haunts the eternal future of the backslider, will gnaw seven times worse. Memory will be seven times keener. What could have been, what once was, will ring throughout the ceaseless, endless ages of time. And folks, it'll be worse in all eternity. Amen. Oh, I want to stay with the church, don't you? I like to stay inside the safety of the ark. For Jesus said, I say also unto thee, thou art Peter. Matthew 16:18, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The only safe place is in the church of the living God. You don't have to go to the highway of holiness to be saved. You just well go first class. Amen. Get on in. Make the most of it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold more a child of hell than yourselves. How many would rather be born from above than to be born from below? Did you know that there was actually the potential of being a child of hell? I don't want to be a child of hell, do you? I don't want to be fostered and brought forth by hell. I don't want to be delivered onto some church pew by hell. I want to be born again by the Spirit of God, don't you? I don't want to be dumped in some religion by a hellish religion that has no reality, no real power. Amen. That washes the devils more than it worships God. It kisses the feet of statues instead of serving the true and living God. Amen. I want to be born from above, not from below. Amen. Even the backslider's mouth is full of fire. James 3:6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth it on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. The backslider has a mouth full of hell. If you don't believe it, just listen to him talk. He'll use it in his conversation. He can't even carry on a conversation without using hell and damn and all them four-letter words. Why? Because his mouth is set on fire of hell. A backslider's hell starts right here on this earth. Amen. Listen to this. Amen. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Amen. Listen to this state, Hebrews 10:27. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Oh, it's going to be bad. Hell is. But it even starts getting bad right here in Hamilton. It even starts getting bad right here in Cincinnati. It gets bad the moment you leave God out of your plans. Backslide on God. Oh, it's going to be bad. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I'm talking about the backslider's hell. Amen. What a destiny. Revelation 20:13. And the sea gave up the dead which are in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which are in them. And they were judged according to their works. Verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Amen. Listen to a preacher's story. A preacher that disobeyed God in Jonah 2:2. It wasn't easy for old Jonah to disobey God. Man, it started getting bad for him. This is his own words. And said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Jonah found hell in a fish's belly. Amen. I don't know where you'll find him, but it won't be long till it'll fire up in your life. You try to get along without Jesus. Amen. I like this visitation of God, don't you, that we've had? I like this touch of God on the service on a Sunday night that we've already enjoyed. I like this in dedicating these little innocent babies to the Lord as much as in us. Praise God. I like that, don't you? Yes. Amen. Listen to this. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. What are you talking about, Revelation 9:5? I'm talking about a visitation from hell. If we don't welcome the visitation of God, the next show is a visitation from hell. Tormented right here on earth. Amen. For months. Amen. Revelation 14:10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And listen to this. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Amen. Even the presence of God
is torment to a backslider. He can't stand it. Amen. He can't take it. Torment. Torment right on earth, right here on earth. Amen. The demons voiced it. Matthew 8:29. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus? Jesus, thou Son of God, art thou come hither to torment us?" Before the time, the demons couldn't stand the presence of Jesus. Mark 5:7 cried with a loud voice, said, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." They knew they were in for it. Sooner or later, Jesus, who is our Savior now, will be our judge tomorrow. The rich man said, "I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." I know what it means to be separated from God. And I want to tell you, if you feel like you're cut off from God and you're going to hell, I can tell you from personal experience, as a 15-year-old child, I had hell to go to hell in. I despaired of my very life. And there was one reason for it. I loved this world. And God drawed the line on me. Amen. Oh my, a visitation from hell. I'll take a visitation from God, don't you? Amen. I'll claim the promise of God. How about you? Listen tonight. This is no light thing. Listen to this. Hebrews 10. "For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me." Verse 30. "I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Ask Saul, the first king. Ask Jonah in the whale's belly. Amen. Ask the prodigals that stayed in the hog pen and never came back. It's a fearful thing. Amen. Children of God, Hebrews 10:36 said, "You have need of patience, and after you do the will of God, you might receive a promise. We have hope for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." It's disastrous to go back on God. Listen, "But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." How many raise your hand and say, "I want to be part of that. I am of them that believe." Stand with me, Father. Challenge our hearts tonight to be in that number that no man can number. That number of the blessed, that number of the saved, that number of the redeemed, O Lord God. Lord, I pray that you help us to see tonight how serious it is to backslide on God. The worst business in the world is to go back on God. This business of backsliding. My God, I pray that you help us not to presume on God one moment longer, lest we be cut off like Saul. Cut off like Cain. Cry with Esau. No repentance found, though he sought it bitterly with tears. Lord, I pray for my friends that are toying around with the world in sin. I pray, Lord, that you hold us up, hold our hand, keep us strong to resist the tempter. Keep your people strong to resist the devil and the world and the flesh. Keep our young people strong to stand for something. To stand for God. Because it's awful to go to hell at best. It's even worse to have hell to go to hell in. Save, Lord. Reclaim, Lord. Help men and women to grow a backbone and step out and say, I'm going to live for God before it's too late. In Jesus' name. Before somewhere in long eternity, we wish we'd have tried harder.